Hey everybody, welcome to the Creative Rising Snacks Edition, where we bring you practical bite-sized tips for your creative journey. I typically air a little nourishing nugget of wisdom from a guest from the show, but today all you get is me. No one else, no guest. But that's because there's a topic that is just too good for me to pass along and share with anyone else. Years ago, I got this tip, this little nugget of wisdom that I wanted to pass along. It came from Rick Anwall, a local legend on the graphic design scene here in Atlanta. He's a very accomplished agency owner, an AIGA fellow. He's an illustrator, photographer, you name it, he's done it. And I very much respect him. And at times, he's mentored me. And on one occasion, it was a fall morning. We met up for coffee and breakfast at this quaint and charming little breakfast place on the west side of Atlanta, kind of like a hipster place with mid-century modern furniture, you know, the clipboard menu, bacon on a stick that's to die for, that whole thing. It was one of those. And we were talking about being selective with your work and deciding what work to take on as a designer or as a firm, which is a super hard subject because as your overhead grows or your agency grows, you have more mouths to feed. You might not really have the luxury of being selective, and yet you don't want to lose sight of your creative soul or your greater purpose in your work or the impact that you could have as a creative agency. So it's a difficult thing to balance. Another challenging part of this is saying that you want to do work that you find interesting, which is true. I want to do that. I want to do interesting work. But the trouble is, what I think is interesting might not be interesting to you. For example, I love seeing our work out in the world, huge, tangible, visible signs of the logos that we've created. It gets me really excited. Years ago, I think in like 2008, we rebranded the Atlanta Mission, and I still drive by their gigantic sign of the logo in downtown Atlanta next door to the Coca-Cola Museum, the Aquarium, the Center for Civil and Human Rights. It's a big tourist area, and I love it. I love seeing it out in the world. Seeing a tangible building of your logo is awesome. And one of the areas of our business that allows us to do that is when we work on place-based brands for our real estate clients, some of which develop apartments. And I like that kind of work. I find it as a good challenge, and I find it as, quote, interesting. But others on our team or elsewhere might not find that interesting. They might have moral angst about helping more apartments pop up in cities across the country. Another example, years ago, there was a TV show that was going to air on Netflix with the rapper Killer Mike as the host. And the whole idea of the show is where he goes in and he helps former gang members sort of refocus their energy and effort and make legitimate businesses to make legal money and to get them to stop selling drugs or doing crime or whatnot. And his idea was to create a brand for the Crips, you know, the gang that you might have seen in movies or heard of before in the headlines. They wear the blue bandanas. You know, it's always been the Blood and the Crips. Well, the challenge here was to market the Crips, the brand awareness around that name, not too dissimilar to what the Hell's Angels have done, where they've trademarked their logo, they've created merch, they get royalties, they get revenue from selling that merch. Well, that's what they wanted to do with the Crips. The producer of that show reached out and called us and said, hey, we would love for you to do a logo for the Crips, present it on air to some of the leaders of the gang and to Killer Mike. And, you know, we need it pretty quick and we have a little bit of money to pay. And I had this moral dilemma with it, just as I would if the Hell's Angels called. And we decided to pass, but our design director at the time thought it was a pretty cool opportunity, and he took it up as a freelance job, which we were cool with. And the final cut of what actually aired on Netflix was hilarious. He did an amazing job, and it definitely caused a feeling of FOMO for sure. But this is another example of something that I wanted to pass on and he wanted to take on. So when you have a group and a team format, finding work that you should or should not do can be difficult. That's the moral of that story, because what's interesting to me might not be interesting to you. And if you're leading an agency or a team, being selective with your work on personal interests gets really complicated. So this brings me back to the story with Rick Anwall and my conversation with him on that fall morning in this quaint hipster little breakfast place. Rick said, here's the way you need to think about being selective with your work. You need to keep three things in mind: fame, fortune, and fun. And let me walk you through these. You need to find work that will bring you fame. What are those projects out there that will level up your clientele? Something that gives you publicity or media coverage or just puts you out into the ether. Or perhaps it just advances your portfolio closer to an industry that you really want to work in. Sometimes there's some concessions that have to be made, maybe by price, taking it at a lower rate. But when you take it on, you should leverage the heck out of it for marketing purposes. That's the value of that fame type of work. Secondly, you can take on work that brings you fortune. This is a job after all. Most of us are not fine artists. And as much as our creative work is an extension of our identity and our worth, it also has a monetary benefit. And that's why a lot of us do it. And you don't have to shy away from that. Sometimes I feel like there's this moral cry against money and against finances. But at the end of the day, we are doing this as a job. There's a lyric from a rapper that I really like named Lecrae who said, I don't always do it for the money, except for when I do it for the money. And I don't know about you, but if I didn't get paid doing what I do, I would probably spend the majority of my time doing something else. Painting, drawing, fly fishing, wakeboarding, playing with my kids, traveling, going to Six Flags, playing ping pong. I don't know, something less stressful than being a creative professional. But because money is a part of what we do, it's okay to take projects sometimes for the money. Money is a big part of being a creative professional. And since most of us have to work, what a glorious way to earn a living. Thirdly, you can take on work that brings you fun. And this might be where the interesting part of your work comes into play. It's helpful to define ahead of time, of course, what type of work is fun to you and excites you. For me, doing brand identity work to help up-and-coming challenger brands is kind of fun. I want to do something that makes an impact that gives those up-and-coming brands a fighting chance. Or work that extends my personal values is fun. Or work that allows me to push the limits and break the rules is fun. A few years back, we got a chance to partner with the Department of City Planning and redesign all the zoning signs across the city of Atlanta. Previously, they had looked like they were designed by a lawyer or an attorney. It was just all legal text, a big, you know, long poster size, couple paragraphs of text, no hierarchy, no layout. It really was visual spam all over the city. No one engaged with it. No one cared. And we got a chance to reinvent that. And we came up with a bright, colorful, beautiful layout that gets people talking now. They see it and they think, I can't believe the city of Atlanta created that zoning sign. And now I see them all over town. And that is fun to me. I love that. And the reason that is fun is because we were able to challenge the status quo and say, get rid of all that legal jargon. Do you really need that on a public notice sign? No. Send them to a website to get all that legal jargon. If people want it, they can go find it elsewhere. We were able to challenge it and break the norm and create something that was beautiful and special for our city. That is fun. So to wrap all this up, I don't think there is a singular reason to take on or to pass on work. It's sort of a balance of all three of those things: fun, fortune, fame. And thanks, Rick, for investing in me all of those years ago. And thank you for snacking with me today. I'm your host, Blake Howard. And if you have any ideas for future bite-sized topics, let me know. You can email me at hello@thecreativerising.com. All right, roll that outro music.